Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's Castle Report. Today is Friday, November 3rd, 2017. And on today's report, I will be talking about the 100th anniversary of the rise of communism and what it means for us today. Most people place the date of the Russian Revolution as November 6, 1917, but some place it 2 weeks earlier, depending on which calendar is used. Whichever calendar is used for the calculation, this week is the 100th anniversary for our purposes. 100 years ago, this very week, Vladimir Lenin and his followers rose in revolt against the Russian czars and against hundreds of years of government by a traditional inherited ruling class who ruled a feudalistic society that was basically unchanged for centuries. The revolution was part of the destruction of the social order across Europe that was fueled by World War I. The old ruling classes were swept away, along with the lives of an entire generation of young men. Communism ended czarist rule in Russia and replaced it with a new set of rulers who soon took on much of the characteristics of the old, except far worse. The last 100 years have seen the deaths of over 100 million people as a direct result of the Russian Revolution, or about 1 million people per year on average. Pogroms of genocide, the purging of various classes of people, execution of military officers and anyone else in leadership, intentional mass starvation numerous times, instigation of great terrors against the Russian people numerous times, as well as the destruction of the Russian economy caused by the 40-year-long Cold War against the West. All these things and more can be held to the account of the communist as an economic system. Communism has been a complete and utter failure wherever it has been tried, but despite that, it is still in vogue today, especially on American college campuses. It is usually referred to as socialism today instead of communism, but it's the same idea. You can find it doing its steady work in Venezuela and across the Third World, but the disastrous results seemingly have no effect on American college professors. Socialism captured American education many years ago, and the results of that capture are what we are seeing on college campuses today. Adherents to this philosophy, who currently refer to themselves as progressives, argue that the communism of Stalinist Russia is and was different from their brand of socialism, but it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, so it might just be a duck. The socialists sometimes have trouble explaining the history of their movement, but they are certain that if they just tinker with it a little, all the horrible deeds of Stalin will disappear and those mistakes will not be made again. Over and over, I argue that we are seeing today the intentional destruction of Western civilization with all its benefits to mankind. In order to destroy Western civilization, it is necessary to destroy the foundation, which is Christianity and the Christian moral and ethical code. Those who seek our destruction, along with their encouragers in the media, in politics, and the corporate world, as well as entertainment and education, those have done an excellent job of what they set out to do from the days of Lenin. The destruction of faith in God has been the ultimate goal from the very beginning. Let me quote from the Communist Manifesto, quote, "There are eternal truths, such as freedom, justice, etc., that are common to all states of society, but communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. Instead of constituting them on a new basis, it therefore acts in contradiction to all past historical experience." So there you have it. Religion is abolished, along with its 2,000 years of history and the upward ascent of the individual. History is abolished, and all traces of it must be eradicated in order to prevent the young from knowing who they really are. Statues of historical figures are destroyed by ISIS in Syria and Iraq, and by their equivalents in cities across America. When you destroy a people's history, you destroy the memory of who they are, and you deny the knowledge to their progeny, freedom and justice, as the manifesto said, are eternal truths and desired by all existing societies, but they must be abolished as well. Napoleon Bonaparte said, writing the history is the greatest spoil of war. We have been at war for many years. Those on the side of Western civilization and of freedom and justice are losing the war. The progressives are winning the war, and now, in anticipation of ultimate victory, they are writing, or should I say rewriting, history, as well as eradicating the last vestiges of freedom and justice. They are busy these days replacing 2,000 years of upward progress due to Christian-inspired Western civilization with Harvey Weinstein, Bill and Hillary Clinton, and the like. Progressives know what morality is, though. They know where it comes from. For all they have to do is pick up a copy of the New York Times or the Washington Post, and they are instructed in what passes for ethics and morality today, so they can go about their destructive work. Tomorrow, however, it may be different. So one must always be ready to adjust on the fly. Media outlets such as print, television, most other sources dictate to us daily the prevailing new morality and rules that we must all follow or have our lives ruined. George Washington is a racist today. He's barred from the very church he attended, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and of course Christopher Columbus, all racist, white supremacists, who have absolutely nothing about them to be admired or followed. These revisionists are the rightful heirs of Karl Marx, and as such, they have to busy themselves constructing an elaborate scheme of do's and don'ts to account for the fact that they have nothing to construct a civilization around except a collection of rules pushed ever forward, carried out to their logical and absurd extreme. There is no escape from their rules of political correctness. We can run, but we can't hide. Even history can't hide from their prying eyes. They now have rules to govern every aspect of our lives, including our bathrooms, and whom we must admit to them, as well as our sexual behavior, our speech, food, Halloween costumes, even mathematics. You probably think I'm kidding about the mathematics, but I'm not. A professor at an Illinois university has a book coming out in which she argues that mathematics, chemistry, physics, and such things are simply white privilege constructs. These are new rules of virtue coming from a philosophy and a people who started by trying to eradicate morality and religion, but have now constructed their own reality and their own morality and their own religion called political correctness, which they insist all humanity must adhere to. When adherents stray from the new morality, or I should say, when their sanctimonious hypocrisy is pointed out and spread at the speed of light around the world by the internet, they even know how to repent. For example, when Harvey Weinstein was accused of sexual assault on numerous women, of sexual intimidation, and of exploitation of women whose careers were dependent on his power and control, and of the forcible rape of at least six women, did he fall on his knees and beg God to forgive him? No. Instead, he said he was sorry, and as penance, he would give money to fight the NRA and Donald Trump. We all owe Harvey a debt of gratitude for what he did, because he exposed the entire facade of lying hypocrisy that Hollywood and the left hides behind. All their pretended morality, their lecturing about immigrants and other protected groups that make up the progressive Hollywood scene, along with their sycophants in the media and in Washington, are now exposed for what they really are. What about the rest of us? We're deplorable, we're irredeemable, and we are hated. Yes, there is no love your enemy concept in this new religion. It is not based on love of mankind or anything else. Instead, it is based on hatred of mankind. Oh, how they hate us with a passion only they can muster. To them, we are at best just a bunch of ignorant, toothless hillbillies, and at worst, evil fascists and Nazis. I'm afraid that this destruction and replacement of morality has so polarized American society that we now have such a divide it can never be cured. The issues that divide and polarize us are about far more important concepts than ever before. These concepts, such as freedom and justice, we simply cannot concede, so we are divided, perhaps irreparably. Because each side views these concepts differently, the industrial age and free market capitalism have lifted more people out of poverty and extended more lives than any other development in human history, and their destruction will not be without consequences. We should learn as a civilization from the boon to Europe caused by the collapse of Soviet communism, not try to resurrect it by some other name. The final result of this entire Marxist thought process, this political correctness, these arcane, ridiculous rules, this deconstructing of history and the erasing of our past has been to induce a stupor and an unwillingness to rise up and fight for our civilization. The unwillingness to fight to preserve Western civilization is evidence of self-hatred and self-destructive tendencies that indicate a lack of understanding of what's really at stake. There are, however, signs coming from recent elections across the world that attitudes may be changing at least a little. People are starting to realize that appeasement only weakens you and strengthens your enemy. This battle can still be won. Victory can be snatched from the jaws of defeat if we keep fighting and we come together to resist. Finally, folks, finally, my prayer is that the American people will muster the courage to rise up and throw off the yoke of their oppressors and take their civilization back. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.